Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel. I'll be joined with Rabbi David Aaron after the break. Do you ever feel an emptiness in life? And when I talk about emptiness, I'm almost described as what I'd call an existential emptiness. It can be the time where you realize this is something beyond just the physical emptiness, because you can realize I have a lot of people around me. My life in certain ways should be full. It's not the kind of emptiness necessarily that's because my life, nothing's happening with it. There can be that kind of emptiness, but sometimes life in certain aspects of it can feel so full. There can be a lot going on in your life. You feel like I should be happy, and yet I feel maybe a little bit depressed. I should feel like my life is full. You know, maybe I have a great job. Maybe there's a lot going for me, and yet there's a certain emptiness that I'm feeling. Sometimes I can be feeling anxiety, and there's no real reason to feel it. The question is, what does it mean when I start to have these feelings? What are these feelings signals of? What are they telling me? Now, there's a part of us that to some degree would want to just push these feelings away. It doesn't feel good to have these feelings, and I just would like to ignore them, pretend that they don't exist, try to distract myself with things that will sort of keep my mind off of that feeling. And yet, if anyone's ever experienced this before, I think you can all understand that that feeling will keep coming back. Sort of nudges at us. It sort of is trying to say, I'm here, I'm here. It's almost like physically there's times where we may have something bothering us and we don't want to have to take care of it. I don't want to have to go to the doctor. I want to pretend like I'm fine. I want to pretend like this isn't bothering me. I don't want to have to take the time to get this checked out. I'm too busy with my life. Well, I feel like there's emotional feelings that can sometimes be similar kinds of signals to say something needs my attention. I can try to ignore this by taking a Tylenol, but it's not going to solve the problem. I can try to ignore this emotional feeling by trying to distract myself, and temporarily maybe I'll feel better. But ultimately, this feeling is there for a reason. There is a purpose. There is some sort of calling out. I'd say it's a call from our soul. Something is calling out, trying to say, pay attention to me. Now, there's a quote from the Lubavitcher Rebbe that I'm going to share with you when we get back with Rabbi Aaron. I want to get a better understanding of it that I think is really trying to explain to us, what is this call of the soul? What are the sometimes these feelings of unrest that we will experience that in so many ways we may want to ignore, but instead of ignoring, what is it that we need to do? How do we need to pay attention to them? What is it that is calling to us when we have feelings that sometimes, again, we want to ignore, but instead of ignoring, how are we supposed to know how to respond to them to get to the root of what the problem is so that we can live optimally with a sense of inner peace and spiritual connection? When we return to Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
I'm Jono Vandor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind.
Every Thursday.
Hello and welcome to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron. We've been on a bit of a break, Rabbi, and I'm really excited to be back. One of the things that I've been realizing recently is that there are so many wise teachers, so many wise sages that we have, rabbis that lived more recently during our times that are living today or in the past. And there's times I'll read their wisdom. And there's times I actually have already started compiling quotes from some of these really wise teachers. And I always think that to get more of an understanding of when you read something and you think, wow, this is powerful, this could be life-changing, but I just need to understand it more because I realize immediately it's insightful. It has a powerful effect, but it's something that I'd like to understand. And I was thinking that maybe I can present some of these ideas from some of these rabbis and get really more illumination from a conversation with you, Rabbi, because you have so much insight into really understanding the depth of the wisdom here. And if you don't mind today, I want to bring a quote from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson. I was reading this and thinking about it, but I really feel like I need more insight into truly understanding it. So he says that when the soul is starved for nourishment, it lets us know with feelings of emptiness, anxiety, or yearning. And I was thinking, we don't like feeling anxious. We don't like feeling empty. We don't like feeling a sense of yearning. But I think what he's trying to say, if I'm understanding, but again, I feel like I need to understand this more, is that these feelings, as much as we don't like them, they're actually assigned to us, almost our soul is speaking to us.
Yeah, I love that quote. You know, it's like in our car, there's a little light that indicates that it's out of oil or whatever. And imagine how foolish it would be if we disabled that little light when it's actually there to tell us that something's wrong. And very often people don't respond to those little signs, whether they're physical or spiritual. And that's when we get into real big problems. And so the soul, we are souls. We don't have a soul. We are souls. And we as souls have yearning to feel connected to the source of life, to feel connected to Hashem, God. And when we're not living our life that way, when we're thinking and speaking and acting in ways that is contrary to the way one would think, speak, and act if they were conscious of that connection, then that will, you know, there'll be symptoms just like any, you know, unhealthy situation. The body will go into a fever, or we will have mucus or whatever. And so on a spiritual level, we could go into anxiety or depression or whatever. And that's a good sign of a healthy soul. If a really unhealthy situation is when those symptoms stop. We got so sick that our body isn't even responding, and our soul isn't even indicating that there's something wrong.
Mm. So then I feel like if anything, you know, feelings of emptiness or anxiety, depression, all these feelings that we normally would say are negative, it almost, I think when we start to experience them, it alarms us, but more in an upsetting fashion. But if we can understand that it's actually a good thing when our body actually produces these symptoms to awake us to fix the source of the problem, then that's actually a good sign, as opposed to something that is an alarm bell that, again, could just take us, if anything, if I think we don't understand where it's coming from, it can actually take us further away from connecting to our soul instead of going back to connecting to our soul.
Well, this is a sad situation in so much of our culture today. I think we've become experts in distracting ourselves from that feeling of emptiness and stress and anxiety. And rather than, you know, dealing with it properly, we've figured out ways to avoid it and be distracted. And in many ways, you know, the entertainment that people are engaged in is just one big painkiller, where we want to avoid having to deal with this feeling of emptiness. So we fill ourselves up with things that don't really fill ourselves up, but gives us a momentary relief. And over time, even those bogus ways of trying to deal with these symptoms won't work. And it's kind of like I heard it in the name of the distinction between Western medicine and Eastern medicine. Now, this I heard, I'm no expert on this, but someone said that in the West, if a person has a cold and their nose is running, so they'll give you some medication so your nose stops running. But I was told that in the East, it takes the absolutely opposite approach, that if your nose is running, then it needs to get this mucus out, and they'll give you something to help it get out. But dissembling the symptoms, or avoiding the symptoms, or editing out the symptoms is a huge mistake, because those symptoms is a gift. And they're telling us that there's something wrong and we got to do something about it, but do something real about it.
Hmm. So it's actually a service to us, which is a totally different way of thinking about the feelings that we have. And it is so true. I was thinking either sometimes we distract ourselves by just trying, you know, whether we're just trying to find the next fun thing or the next high or something just to take us out of our reality, putting ourselves somewhere else. On the other hand, there's also this push in society to, so to speak, get to quiet yourself down, yoga, meditation. But even that isn't necessarily getting us in touch with our soul, which is the connection to God. That might just be another form of distracting ourselves from what is really calling at us.
Yeah, well, recently I got through Facebook a message from someone in Mexico who had been reading my books, and he is, since he's 10 years old, he's really had a lot of spiritual mental challenges. And he's gone to a lot of therapists and medication. And I asked him, I said, do you practice kindness? And he said, well, yeah, of course. I make donations from time to time. I said, listen, that's good. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about kindness of really time, like giving your time to somebody. And, you know, go visiting the sick or go play with an orphan or something where you experience yourself really doing good in an altruistic way. And he said, no, I don't do that much. And I said, well, I really believe that there's something very therapeutic in just going and doing good. I believe that much of our problems in this world is we're just too involved with ourselves. We're too stuck. It's our story is too much about me, and a healthy soul wants to give. And so I started when it intrigued me. I was just saying this intuitively. I do really believe that kindness is the best therapy. And so I did some research on the web, and there's serious medical explorations and research on the effect of kindness on people's, and it even has shown to have a real chemical effect in the brain, of giving you positive, boosts in your moods. And so I don't know, you ask a person, do you do good? And they say, yes, of course, I don't ever hurt anybody. And hurting somebody is not being bad, but being good is doing good. And I think we need to encourage, a kindness therapy where people are taking time to go do kindness. And, I've told some of my students here in Jerusalem, there's something called Machane Yehuda, which is the Yehuda market, fruit market, vegetable market. And you'll see there are a lot of elderly people also there shopping and carrying and their loads of groceries. And I tell my students, why don't you go there and look for somebody who could use help? And you'll gain more from it than they will. Just collect smiles and go out there and offer yourself to really help somebody. And I think that this is it's not everything. It's not the only thing that one needs to do, but I think it's a serious thing that would make a big difference. That when a person feels empty, is because the soul's natural inclination is to do good. Mm-hmm. We are, so to speak, a little piece of God. I mean, metaphorically, and God in Torah is the absolute good. That's what God is. God is good, Almighty, and we are a little spark of that good, and therefore our natural inclination. And the way to really be ourselves is by helping others.
You know what is so interesting? Because we talk about the soul, when it's starved for nourishment, that's when it will start to feel these feelings of emptiness. And I'm thinking, and I guess the way you're explaining it is feeding the soul is almost the opposite of feeding the body. Because when I think about when my body is starved for nourishment, I need to put something inside of it. I have to take something from outside of myself and put it in. That's food mainly. But when the soul is starved for nourishment, when I'm doing kindness and goodness for others, is I'm taking something within me and giving it to someone outside of myself. So it's almost great. Like an inverse.
Yes, that's a great point. Yes.
But understanding that is so important, because that's why I so appreciate this conversation, because again, you see wisdom as the soul is starved for nourishment. And a sign of that is sometimes these feelings of unrest. But I would think that means I need to put something more inside of myself. And there might be an aspect to that, but what you're saying really does make a lot of sense. And it's so important to understand that the soul, as a part of God who is goodness and is always doing good for us, it really thrives on doing for other people, which means we have to be outside of ourselves. And so to feed it, the more if I start feeling these feelings of emptiness, that means I need to be going more outside of myself to fill myself up, to fill my soul up, which is not, I think, what would have been my natural conclusion, but it really does make a lot of sense.
Yeah. You know, people have to get over the taking mode and getting into the giving mode. And that itself, interesting, ironically, would give us a tremendous amount by giving tremendous amounts to others.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Hello and welcome back to Soul Talk. This is Lior Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron. Rabbi, I already have achieved so much insight into understanding, and I think for all of us, what it means to feed our soul. That it's, the analogy you gave in the first segment of the light that goes off to say on a car you need an oil change, that's like the call out to us where we feel unease, whether it be depression, anxiety, emptiness, all of these feelings that we think of as negative is assigned to us. Examine your life. You're feeling unease. Your soul is calling out to you. It needs to be fed. And as you explained, again, not my natural conclusion is feeding the soul isn't necessarily the way we feed our body, but it means that we need to be out there to give more to others. That's a very important way of feeding our soul. That's a first step that we can, I guess I'm thinking for myself, start examining how can I do more good? How can I emulate God more by being a better person, by doing for other people? And it is so true. When I think about it, what you're saying is I feel good about myself when I am going outside of myself to be there for other people. It is a very interesting, and I think for most of us, when we can think about the times that we've gone outside of ourselves to do for others, we've helped gone out of our way to help someone else. We've set aside time for someone else. It's not just about me focusing on myself. Those are the times that we feel, I think it's not just me physically feeling good, but it's a higher level of feeling good. Feel, and I guess maybe it's because I understand it more. I'm feeding my soul when I do that.
Right. And I love this quote I heard in the name of Mark Twain. He said, the best way to cheer yourself up is to cheer other people up. And I find that so true. I've experienced that myself. Although I do want to kind of put a little balance here in the discussion, because I do think that kindness also applies to ourselves. In other words, I do think that we have to. Sometimes people are out there for everybody else, but they do forget that as much as that's good for them, but there's a certain kindness that they have to perform towards themselves. And that kindness is by taking care of their body, eating well. You know, that's also a kindness. So sometimes a person feels, you know, they're in a bad mood and just going to go eat anything and just go have fun and doing that. And I really think that it helps them get out of that funk that they're in. But I do think if a person does something that's kind, even if it's towards themselves, by exercising or doing something that's truly good for themselves. But I'm a real big fan, and I encourage my students, go do kindness. And I've asked, you know, students that, you know, I asked them, how much kindness do you do a week? And when people think about that, a lot of people will realize they don't do a lot of kindness, and it's really shocking when they think about it, because very often people think they're kind because they're not cruel. But of course, being not cruel doesn't make you kind; it just simply makes you not cruel. And kindness really means, and it's small things. It's smiling, you know, at the person or the waitress or the waiter saying thank you, I have a list of people that that I know could use encouragement, and I try to send them emails or SMS or call them, because I know that that they need some encouragement. And I consider that a great act of kindness. And I love doing it. And I'm happy I can do that.
So it's interesting because on the one hand, if we're too focused on ourselves, then we're almost starving ourselves by feeding ourselves too much, but the wrong kind of food. On the other hand, you're pointing out a very important point that we have to show kindness to ourselves, but maybe it's sort of like eating the right foods versus the wrong foods. Just like physically, we can understand that if you eat junk, you're technically fueling yourself, but you're not going to be optimally functioning because you're eating junk as opposed to healthy food. And same thing with the kindness to ourselves. If we're just self-focused, then it's almost like eating too much junk food and we start to feel depressed, withdrawn, empty. If we're doing the right kind of self-care, which as you're talking about is so important, and it's in balance with also giving to other people, then it's like feeding ourselves the healthy, nourishing food that really gives us energy to keep ourselves going.
Well, my rule of thumb is I encourage people, listen, if you're doing something that you wouldn't want someone that you love to be doing, if you're doing something that you wouldn't want your children to be doing or your spouse to be doing or your best friend to be doing, then why are you doing that? And that's a real wake up for some people, because they would never want to see their friend behave that way or do that kind of or be engaged in that kind of activity. And so why are you doing that to yourself? And so again, sadly enough, we are much more kinder to others than we are to ourselves. And eventually that'll break down. You know, it says love your neighbor as yourself. So if a person isn't loving themselves and being kind to themselves, and being kind to themselves is doing what's good for them, you know. And, I recently heard that there was research done that people, if they take their dog to the vet and the vet, you know, gives a prescription, then the owner of the dog gets that prescription and very meticulously administers it till the very end. But when a person goes to a doctor for themselves and the doctor says, go get this prescription, many people just don't. They don't take care of themselves.
You know, it's interesting because you're talking about with animals, but sometimes I think about that just with my children, that there definitely are times that if it's something that needs to be taken care of for my child, they need to, as you're saying, an example of seeing the doctor or getting something taken care of, I'm really on top of it. And this is maybe a classic mother thing, but when it comes to my taking care of myself, sometimes it ends up being put on the back burner. Sometimes there is this tendency of taking care of others before ourselves. But when we can understand that if I take care of myself, that's also me feeding my soul. It will help me just, again, on the physical, right, spiritual side, optimally operate. And then I will have more to give to other people. It helps us reprioritize ourselves.
Right. And that's why I think we need to really focus on living kindly and performing acts of kindness to others and to ourselves.
So you were saying before that the way this helps us connect to our soul is our soul is a part of God. God is good, is always doing good for us. And so that when we emulate God, we are connecting to God and we're nourishing our soul through that, which is very powerful. Do we have to be conscious of the fact that when I do good, I am, so to speak, nourishing my soul, that's, you know, helping me connect to God? Or even without a consciousness of that, it's just, so to speak, a byproduct of the more good I do, the more my soul is nourished because it's emulating God?
Look, I think having awareness certainly contributes, but even without the awareness, when people do good, I think they feel good. And I think that is the best way. And I don't think it's practice. And I think very often people, you know, go to therapists and they talk about everything that's wrong about their lives and talk about everything that's wrong about their mother and their father and their sister and their brother. And I wonder whether sometimes, and I'm not saying that there's no value to that, but I wonder how much knowing my problem is really very much solving my problem. I mean, if I know my problem and I have a solution how to relate to it, that's great. But just knowing the problem is often not enough. And I think a big part of the problem is we're just too immersed and preoccupied with ourselves And we're too much in a taking mode rather than a giving mode. And we have to become, rather than go-getters, we have to learn to become go-givers.
Hmm. But you know, as much as this is the food for our soul, this is how we feel good. And I'm saying, I think we've all experienced that feeling of just feeling on a spiritual high because we've given to someone else, especially if, even if it's not on a regular basis, but when we've done it, we feel it. But as I'm thinking more and more about what you're saying, I think a lot of the problem that we have is as a society, this isn't necessarily a message that's spoken about. If anything, I think we're more and more becoming self-focused and like almost like the world revolves around us. And we're just so focused in and of ourselves. We become such an individualistic society that we almost have to recognize the harm that this is doing us. The more we just only focus on ourselves, on our own inner circle without expanding ourselves, we're starving our souls and that we're feeling down. We're feeling depressed. And there's always that question is why today do we seem to have more depressed people than any other time? And that might be part of it because you're explaining the answer is, I mean, obviously, there's a whole other category of real chemical depression, but we just have this general malaise because we're all starving because we're not only focused on ourselves and not going outside of ourselves as much as we should to help be there for others.
Yeah, no, not only that, research has shown that even witnessing an act of kindness gives the witness a boost of something called oxytocin, which is like a joy juice. To get a little squirt in your brain of this joy juice called oxytocin, that not only when you do an act of kindness, does this so we are literally chemically wired to do kindness. And when we do kindness, we literally get a little, we get a reward of this kind of joy juice called oxytocin. And even just witnessing an act of kindness gives us a little squirt of that stuff in our brain to give us this positive feeling. And this is how Hashem, this is how God has created us to value and to live kindly. And I don't know, I would love to see in schools, one of the things that I instituted in my school, my yeshiva, is something called random acts of kindness, RACs. And I encourage guys that before they pray in the morning, just like we give tzedakah, we give, it's customary to give charity before you pray every morning, you know, whatever that amount is. There's a little, you know, charity box. But we have a box in our yeshiva called Random Acts of Kindness where a person kind of like a fortune cookie, you know, you stick your hand in the box and you pick out, you know, a recommended random act of kindness this day. Buy someone a chocolate bar, whatever that is. But to accustom ourselves to do random acts of kindness.
Hmm. When you return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Lior Mandel.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
And welcome back to Soul Talk. I'm here with Rabbi David Aaron. No, we're talking about how to nourish our soul, and the way you're explaining that doing acts of kindness is really the food for our soul, it really brings it to a whole new level, because I think we all understand that acts of kindness, we call them good deeds. It's a good thing to do. This is something positive, but I don't think as I'm thinking about this too, I don't think we've realized how essential this is. It's not just about doing for other people. But an act of kindness is essential for ourselves, because when we're talking about this is what nourishes our soul, it's not just a good thing to do. It's not just the effect it has on someone else, which I think is maybe sometimes what we do think about. If we realize what it does for ourselves, we'd be seeking this out a whole lot more.
Yeah, it is literally the way to maintain spiritual health. It's by doing acts of kindness. And as I mentioned, it can be so small. It could be just a kind word. I mean, a kind word could go so far. You know, so many people are sad, and if you just see them and they're wearing a, you know, a nice shirt or something, say, "Oh, that looks great on you. I love that shirt." You know, it's just, it will, imagine the world, how different it would be if you were in the work environment, in a school environment, people were doing these little acts of kindness towards each other. It would literally be life changing. It would be revolutionary. And it's so simple. It's just kindness therapy.
And also I'm thinking about, because we've spoken about this before, that we're really all part of the same soul. We're all connected. It's almost like an illusion that we're separate entities. So maybe that's also part of how the soul gets fed by giving to another, is because when I'm giving to another, I'm also still giving to myself. Because it's a recognition that we're all connected. So just like, again, it's two sides of the same coin. Kindness is giving to others, but it's also being kind to myself. In all that kind of way, it's uplifting the national soul too, not just on an individual level.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, that's how we, those are the basic ingredients for spiritual health. It's caring, kindness, love, connection. I mean, people are lacking this feeling of connection, and what better way to nurture connection than genuinely caring and doing and kind acts or kind words towards other people.
So before, if I understand, we're saying that this is what we need for nourishing our soul. And even if we're not aware that that's what it does, for those of us who are struggling, feeling malnourished, feeling empty, this understanding what it is that we need to fill ourselves is helpful. For those who are anyhow giving a lot, they hopefully feel very fulfilled. They may not realize this is what it is. It's feeling, giving a soul fulfillment. But the action itself does it, whether you're aware of what you're feeding or not. But the idea that we're connecting to God, because I feel like if the soul is a part of God, and the more we act like God, the more we connect to God, do we, for our soul to feel nourished, do we have to have a consciousness, having more of a consciousness of God in our lives? Would that also then increase our nourishing our soul? Because ultimately that's where our soul comes from. That's the source of it.
You know, how does a person know that they're feeling the presence of God in their life? I've mentioned this before, you know, how do I know there's gravity in my life? I feel a force pulling me down. And how do I know that I have God in my life? Because I feel a force pulling me up. So when I feel, you know, inspired to be kind, to be compassionate, to be caring, to be fair, to be honest, those are the symptoms of a soul that is engaged with God. And whether those people know that or not, that's what we call being engaged in God. People that are aspiring to living an ideal, a life of ideals, where they are living goodwill to make this world a better place in all the various ways that can be done. That's what it means to be in the presence of God. Whether a person thinks that's God or not, that's the presence of God in a person's life. When a person is aroused to do good, and what fuels their life is goodwill to do good for others, then that is an indication that you as a soul are very in touch with God. Again, you might not know that that's what that means, and you might not call it that, but that's what it is. You know, how do I know I'm eating ice cream? Because I taste something sweet. How do I know I'm engaged in a relationship with God? Because I am aroused to do good, to be just, to be kind, to be compassionate, to be peaceful. Those are the indications of what it really means to be in the presence of God.
So when it comes to physically feeding ourselves, we'd say that's like a natural instinct. We feel hungry. We know we need to eat. And in certain ways, the more I think about it, it almost seems like it should be a natural instinct to understand how we should be feeding our souls, because the more good we do, the more we do feel good on a soulful level. And yet so many of us are so empty when it comes to our soul. So if it, to some extent, this almost seems like there should be some natural soulful instinct. Why is it that it's, and it makes sense when you explain it too, why is it that it almost seems as though we're not even aware of what it is that we need, and that's why we're oftentimes feeling so empty?
I think we've gotten to such a level of pain that people can't get past their own pain. It doesn't dawn on them that the way to get out of their pain is to get out of themselves and to go do something for somebody else. And I think this is a situation that we're in, that so many people are hurting and so many people are sad, that when we're sad and we're hurting, we tend to go inside. And what I'm suggesting is we have to go in the other direction and go outside. And of course, we don't feel like it. When we're sad or depressed or whatever, we don't feel like go talk to somebody, go do an act of kindness. We just want to go to sleep or whatever. We just want to, you know, we just want to space out on watching some movie, whatever it is. But it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So I think, you know, something very natural. We're so out of touch with ourselves that we're not so in touch with the nature. And so, yes, it's true that people, a person that was in touch with their body probably wouldn't eat garbage, you know, but people are eating very unhealthy food. And so there is this inclination to eat, but it's not natural for a lot of people to be sensitive to what they're eating. They just want to fill their bellies. And because our bodies are so obvious and our physical needs are so obvious, I think that we have confused that the way I take care of my body is the same way I take care of my soul. That's not true. As just as you pointed out, it's a different direction. The body I feed, the soul feeds others to be fed.
Mm. Oh, wow. That's a powerful, very powerful. But understanding this is why I'm so glad I brought this up, because understanding this, especially as you were saying that you're right, naturally we need to eat, but we often eat the wrong foods, even though it's not good for us, we keep doing it. So understanding on a soul level what it is that we need to function optimally, to feel alive, to feel vibrant, to feel like we're living our lives, this is what we're here for, to understand these are the things that we need to feed it with is by going outward. Everything we feed out is what ultimately feeds it to be able to do more and more, is the key to be able to continue to do these things.
Yeah. The world and people would be in such a better place if they were just concerned about making it a better place for other people. Mm. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure how much people are watching movies or television shows or listening to music that is promoting kindness as and again, I'm talking about small acts of kindness, not doesn't have to necessarily be always these huge, you know, magnificent acts of kindness. It's just realizing that a smile and a good word and just offering help or calling somebody. I'm sure everybody listening right now to this show knows one person that if they were to call them and just say, hey, how are you? I was thinking about you. How are you feeling? Oh my gosh, what they would do for that person. Hmm. What they would do for that person and what they would do for themselves by just doing that.
And this new understanding to a great degree also gives an understanding of hardship in the world. Obviously, it's a very complex issue, and I'm not only going to sum it up into this one understanding. But if we recognize that we're here for a purpose, and part of this purpose is, you know, our bodies are temporary, but our soul is eternal. So we're here to be filling it up. And every time we can do kindness and help someone and do something good for someone else, that's what we're here for. But in order to do kindness, there has to be some sort of hardship. There has to be a lack in the world. There has to be, and there's, when you see it that way, then there's plenty of opportunity all around us. That, you know, not that we want other people to have to go through hardship. Our job is to try to, as much as we can, bring more light into the world, because it minimize the hardship and the challenge. But the reality of the world, as we all know, and in all of our lives around us, is that there's always going to be some level of hardship, some challenge. But if we can see that as this is my opportunity to help someone else out, and by filling my soul, I'm also filling theirs. It's a very interesting thing, is that I nourish my soul by helping someone else. But when I help someone else, they also feel nourished. And there's this almost this joint elevation that we can both experience.
Yeah, there's a beautiful teaching that there's a time where not believing in God is a good thing, and that's when you're about to do kindness. You know, sometimes believing in God could undermine your kindness because, well, God will take care of that person, you know. Or if that person's in that situation, then there must be some divine reason to all that. So I don't need to get in the way of that. And so so sometimes kind of not believing in God is a good thing if that's what it takes for you to be kind and take care of this person.
And ultimately, when we do that, we're really partnering with God, right? Our soul is a part of God. The way we can nourish our soul is through doing kindness and goodness. And that's also the way we partner with God to be God-like when we help and do for others. Wow, I really want to thank you, Rabbi Aaron, for this tremendous insight that is truly life-changing. I want to thank you all for joining us, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Karras from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.